Hello again there, folks. So I thought I'd have a bit of a chat about a short story that I've really caught my eye by H.P. Lovecraft. Now, I'm new to Lovecraft, though I've heard a lot about him. A lot of people on the right speak about him. And he occupies this very sort of dark corner where he's associated with the occult and all kind of esoteric evils. And he seems to be more pagan than Christian as well. But nevertheless, as I was making my way through the stories, there was one in particular which really jumped out at me, which kind of perfectly encapsulated the theme of this year that I've kind of been touching on a little bit about the idea that there is like evil or demonic forces at play in the world, and they've been running rampant for the last couple of years, which is a sort of a subject that I find really interesting. And the name of the short story is called Nyarlathotep, which is a like the nightmare begins just with me trying to say that. But nevertheless, I'm going to soldier on through it, because when you see, I mean, it's absolutely beautifully written, but it's just what Lovecraft's actually saying here. When you apply it to like sort of current year, it's I just find it quite spooky and quite like unbelievably prophetic. It was written exactly 100 years before the current chaos broke out in the West. And just to sort of, I'll go through the first few passages because it's really something. And he says, Nyarlathotep, the crawling chaos, I am the last, I will tell the audient void, because it's from the narrator's point of view. And then he says, I do not recall distinctly when it began, but it was months ago. The general tension was horrible. To a season of political and social upheaval was added a strange and brooding apprehension of hideous physical danger, a danger widespread and all-embracing, such a danger as may be imagined only in the most terrible phantasms of the night. I recall that the people went about with pale and worried faces and whispered warnings and prophecies which no one dared consciously repeat or acknowledge to himself that he had heard. A sense of monstrous guilt was upon the land, and out of the abysses between the stars swept chill currents that made men shiver in dark and lonely places. There was a demoniac alteration in the sequence of the seasons. The autumn heat lingered fearsomely, and everyone felt that the world, and perhaps the universe, had passed from the control of known gods or forces to that of gods or forces which were unknown. So he's speaking of this giant, like metaphysical shift that's happened, which is almost like a crack in reality, in which everything, the fundamentals of life, and reality are going to change completely. And this, what's funny is that even on the run up to this actually happening, there, as he says, there was this political tension, political chaos, and a general doom and gloom and hysteria and madness was that was already there, but it's all just a sort of forewarning for what was to come. And it seems to me that it sums up the Western world perfectly. And in the next part is when, well, I'll just read it out. And it was then that Nyarlathotep came out of Egypt. Who he was, none could tell. But he was of the old native blood and looked like a pharaoh. The fellaheen knelt when they saw him, yet could not say why. He said he had risen up out of the blackness of 27 centuries, and that he had heard messages from places not on this planet. Into the lands of civilization came Nyarlathotep, swarthy, slender, and sinister, always buying strange instruments of glass and metal, combining them into instruments yet stranger. He spoke much of the sciences of electricity and psychology, and gave exhibitions of power which sent his spectators away speechless, yet which swelled his fame to exceeding magnitude. Men advised one another to see Nyarlathotep and shuddered. And when Nyarlathotep went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare. Never before had the screams of nightmare been such a public problem. Now the wise men almost wish they could forbid sleep in the small hours, and the shrieks of the cities might less horribly disturb the pale, pitying moon as it glimmered on green waters, gliding under bridges and old steeples, crumbling against a sickly sky. And so Nyarlathotep is a showman, and he's dazzling the public and bedazzling everybody and hypnotizing them and getting this huge kind of following and support base through showcasing all of these scientific wonders. It's almost like the and remember, he is like a demon, and it's almost as if the Enlightenment has been inverted in a way. He doesn't have a face in the mythos either. But I'll just move on to the next one, the next part. And he says, I remember when Nyarlathotep came to my city, the great, the old, the terrible city of unnumbered crimes. My friend had told me of him and of the impelling fascination and allurement of his revelations, and I burned with eagerness to explore his uttermost mysteries. My friend said they were horrible and impressive beyond my most fevered imaginings. That was what was thrown on a screen, and the darkened room prophesied things none but Nyarlathotep dared prophesy, and that in the sputter of his sparks there was taken from men that which had never been taken before, which showed only in the eyes. And I heard it hinted abroad that those who knew Nyarlathotep looked on sights which others saw not. So you'll notice that even though, like, Lovecraft wrote this in 1920, he's already talking about the big showman hypnotizing everybody with the screens. And everybody is watching the screens and all of the magic images, which are then going into their brain. And of course, they're all being manipulated, because eventually that is literally what's going to happen. He's leading them all to their doom. And I mean, it is Lovecraft, and it is like apocalyptic. What the passages that follow this are the sky coming in, the world, the sun dying, the seasons don't make sense anymore. He talks about huge snow drifts. It's really gets really, really dark. So let's have like a little recap about what Lovecraft's strange little tale is saying here. The world is smothered with a great fear. The population is going mad, as if in a frenzy. The political order is breaking down, and it feels as if nobody knows the rules of life. The very reality of things has shifted and been taken over by forces unknown. An enigmatic demon god comes out from the nether regions to bedazzle and hypnotize people with technology and signs, and gains a massive following of slaves and sycophants who are desperate to do his bidding. But it's all a great con, a giant joke to lead them into the abyss as their civilization, their world, crumbles and collapses into dust. And I just think, if we look around us in our world today, can we apply this? Now, I will put a caveat in. I think people who are like really clued up on Lovecraft would probably push back and say, no, we're not nearly at this stage yet. But nevertheless, it's just so much of it jumps out at you. So in my view, what's so interesting about this is that Lovecraft is teasing out certain subconscious feelings about being in the world. It's more like there's an active force, a malignant force, which seems to push down on us and alter our mood. I was watching an interview with John Waters recently, and he was saying, because he's on a certain side to current events, let's say, skeptical. And he was saying, when he was detailing all of the terrible things being done, that it felt as if there was this huge weight on his shoulders. And he meant it in a collective sense. And he was saying as if there was this metaphysical force pushing down on everybody, and they're just sort of spreading doom and paranoia and hysteria. I mean, you could say it was the media, but that's exactly kind of what Lovecraft is saying. He's even, like 100 years ago, he's pointing to this kind of showman with all of his technological wonders and his science and his screens, which are hypnotizing all of the, and let's be honest, it's the NPCs. Who are the easiest to go along with them. Because in the actual text as well, the narrator is kind of reluctant, and Nyarlathotep just doesn't take well to that whatsoever. He wants everybody to be an obedient NPC. But of course, and they aren't aware of it. The masses get excited of all of the gadgets and all of the gizmos. There's two ways you can look at something like what's happening in Australia as well. Like, is it just sort of brute force, or is there something beyond that which is turning the country into a madhouse? Again, it's interesting to think about. The idea of a malignant force is alien to us. You know, Lovecraft makes us confront that by making the demonic and the metaphysical supersede post-Enlightenment rationality. Nyarlathotep is an entity which should have been squeezed out by modernity and its technology and scientific explanations of the world, but he wasn't. And it isn't just that he wasn't, but that he views the tools of modernity as toys and tools of manipulation. Science was supposed to conquer and explain the great mysteries, to fill in all the blank spaces and to shine light in dark places, exposing the unknown, revealing ourselves, our own ignorance. C.S. Lewis views it differently. What is being pushed out of the minds of men is God and objective values being applied to the world. The waterfall, like I've touched on in a recent video, we can't say that the waterfall is objectively beautiful. They will say that's just how you feel about it. But in the end, what we're abolishing is ourselves, because we too belong in the natural world. In a way, Lovecraft, though being more orientated toward paganism, is viewing this from an even darker perspective. Far from squeezing out the metaphysical, what the post-Enlightenment scientific boom has done is empower the truly demonic, who grin as humanity goes mad in the darkness and is passively led off to the slaughter and the destruction of their world. In a letter that Lovecraft wrote on this, he said, Nyarlathotep was a kind of itinerant showman or lecturer who held forth in public halls and aroused widespread fear and discussion with his exhibitions. These exhibitions consisted of two parts. First, a horrible, possibly prophetic cinema reel, and later some extraordinary experiments with scientific and electrical apparatus. Nyarlathotep wears the mask of a technocrat. He uses propaganda to terrify his audience and then entrances them with his scientific wonders as he leads them away to destruction. I know this sounds familiar, it should, because it really smacks of the post-humanism I mentioned in my last video. In Lovecraft too, humans are removed from the centre of things in order to make way for grander design. In the cosmic scale that Lovecraft describes, humans are less than ants or bacteria. The people are just playthings to be tormented and then disposed of. I'm new to Lovecraft, but I was aware of a dark aura around his work, something esoteric. I knew vaguely that he was associated with the occult, but mainly I just thought people liked the giant squid monster. In actual fact, what I find so bone-chilling is that this 100-year-old short story was so deeply prophetic, it exists at all. And what's stranger still is that a common theme within Lovecraft has somebody stumbling across obscure notes or manuscripts that reveal something profoundly disturbing about the world. What I think is disturbing so many people now and creating that air of doom and increase in awareness or feeling of demonic powers at work is powerlessness. Like in the story, the feeling that power has passed from familiar to the unfamiliar to, as Lovecraft puts it, God's unknown. The feeling that the fundamentals of our world are being changed in ways we can hardly understand. Why? Who? What do they have in store for us? An unending discourse of death and disease has also taken hold across the West. Regardless of where you stand on that issue, what unites both sides is an obsession with death and disease. A daily diet of stats and data sheets on the dead or dying, or speculations on future stats of people who will die and how they will die. Our society is a death cult at this point. I started reading Lovecraft when I realised that the Warhammer 40k lore had drawn on so much from him. But as I work my way through Lovecraft, I can't help but feeling that something is missing, that the balance is off kilter, and that I'd really like to see Nyarlathotep being sliced wide open by a divine sword before being utterly disintegrated. But leaving that aside, this is different to standard dystopia works people point to, whether 1984 or Brave New World or all the Hollywood movies we can think of. Usually they deal with systems. A given system is totalitarian, its politics insane, and so on. In my opinion, a short story like Nyarlathotep in some ways cuts through all the political philosophy and gets right to the core of the issue, which is a demonic energy which always seems to herald an era of mass psychosis and hysteria. The Western mainstream seems to be uncomfortable with Lovecraft in a way they aren't with something like 1984. It isn't just Lovecraft's politically incorrect views on race, but that in the most materialist age in human history, surfing the waves of the supernatural and esoteric is too far beyond the scope of most people. And yet, these are the people who Lovecraft depicted 100 years ago as a craven mob of easily deceived automatons, almost as if he pilloried his future detractors decades beforehand. Nyarlathotep was written in 1920, exactly 100 years before what we think of as a great crack or ending to our way of life by forces unknown. Things get very dark when you begin scratching at these issues. I'll catch you later, folks.